Hello, everyone. You are listening to the latest Flyers Talk podcast presented by Great Railing. I'm Jordan Hall, and as always, I am joined by the wonderful Taryn Hatcher and the dynamic Joe Fordyce. Joe and Taryn, two more difficult losses for the Flyers. Their losing streak is now at 6 games. As we all know, they had a 13-gamer earlier in the season, a 10-gamer earlier in the season. I have a feeling many people are wondering, here we go again.
If you travel, you know when it comes to love.
See you soon.
Can't wait.
The sky is no limit. You know with your Delta Amex card, being oceans apart means meeting in Aruba. And booking a war travel with your card means saving 15% on Delta flights. You know kissing under the bridge of sighs guarantees eternal love. Because you're the long-distance lovebirds. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Take off 15 discount not applicable to partner operated flights or taxes and fees. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/you know.
For me, I thought Claude Giroux and the Flyers, after this 4-1 loss to the Blues on Tuesday, they just looked defeated. And I don't blame them. they feel like they're right there in some of these games against quality teams, teams with 30 plus wins. And they're just falling a little short in the end, where this winning team makes a winning play. And a team that's lost a lot of games is making losing plays. Taryn, do you feel like the Flyers can get up and back on their feet and avoid, you know, another double-digit skid here?
I think they can. I think the tough thing is, and I know Al and I internally, when we looked at the schedule, when they came back from break and they lost twice to the Red Wings, we thought like, oh goodness, because we knew this 8-game homestand that they had was going to be one of the more difficult chunks of their season, even before all their issues this year. This was going to be one of their most difficult runs of the season was this chunk of games that has come together with Washington and Carolina and the Caps and so on and so forth. So I do think they can do it. I think this is an incredibly difficult time, the schedule to do it. The tough thing is that when you talk to people and they just look at the score from last night's game and it's a 4-1 game, it looks like they got dominated, and they did not. I mean, it was a 2-1 game truly with two empty net goals, but in terms of competition level, it was a 2-1 game. I thought the Flyers looked really good for stretches of the game. Doesn't matter. At some point you have to win, because, and I was talking to Casey Feeney, who's one of our executive producers at NBC Sports Philly, about it, is you do get concerned at some point that I get it that they're trying to develop players. And so when the process is good, you do have to acknowledge that the process is good, because you want them to continue to do some of the good habits that have led to the good process. You also don't want to develop players who become comfortable with losing, but process was good. And I don't think Mike Yeo is allowing that to be the case at all. It just is what is happening. And I think he's stressing it. And he's, you know, we talked about the tipping point, so on and so forth, that, it's just not acceptable anymore to just have a good process. You need to have a good process and you need to win games. It's going to be very, very hard. But I will say, I thought that in the past two games, the disparity between top six guys and bottom six guys, a lot of whom would be AHL guys if it wasn't for the injuries this season, I felt like that gap closed a little bit, and they need that to continue to close. It's a good sign of development for some of those players. But they need it. They need a complete team effort through the end of the games. And, you know, I hate to pick on one person, because it's certainly not one person, but we talked about it last post game. I really think Mike Yeo needs to do something to take some weight off of Ivan Provorov, because there were quite a few plays. He's a -4 yesterday, means he was on the ice for all of the goals. Again, that is not to say that all of those goals are on him, but he's making plays that are leading to goals lately that are not like him. And he's carrying the third most ice time in the league. And you know that he puts a ton of weight on his own shoulders in terms of responsibility and accountability and so on and so forth. I do think that they need to figure out something there, because I do think that's hurting the team overall. And I think it's hurting Ivan. Problem is that how do you address that? Do you want to put the Yandel Sealer pairing out more often? Do you want to give Sanheim and Risto more ice time? Do you want to call Cam York back up and see if he can't shore up maybe that third D pair more? I don't really know what the answer would be, but that's one of the issues at the top of my list right now, is trying to get Provy back on track, because we all know what he's capable. He's a very good hockey player and he can contribute so much. But I think right now the thing holding him back is his own, it's the amount that's being put on him. And I think that the criticism, the harshness with which he criticizes and evaluates himself. And I think that hurts the team overall, because they need him so much. They rely on him so much. So it's kind of tough to watch.
Jordan, I would agree. And the point I've made this several times over the last couple of weeks, I feel like Ivan Provorov right now is playing like he's anticipating the next thing he's going to do wrong. A guy that's seems to have completely lost confidence in all of his game. And Jonesy last night on our postgame show, the first thing when Taryn mentioned this to Jonesy, he said I think he's playing too much. And, as Taryn just alluded to, what is the other option other than playing him this much right now? And maybe it is to bring Cam York back up. But I don't know. They're really kind of I feel like they're stuck in a spot here, because, they obviously have Cam York down with the Phantoms for a reason. And maybe it's they want him to play more. Maybe they don't want him to get caught up in the sort of, I guess I'll call it minutia of what this season has become for the Flyers. But, I see a totally different player in Provorov than the one we're used to. And it's a guy that looks like he completely lacks confidence in anything he does. I mean, the giveaway that turns into the second empty netter last night is a perfect example. He makes a cross ice pass that's right on the stick of a St. Louis Blues player, and it just turns into an easy goal the other way. And those are not Provorov-ish type of plays. The other thing I'll mention, and back to how you started here, Jordan, is just about the way they've played in these games. And they have hung in there. And then last night, what you saw was Lindblom scores. And it was almost like Craig Berube said to his team, like, guys, we are not going to lose to this team. And then that very next shift, they had a we're not going to lose to this team shift. And Tarasenko scores. And then the ball starts rolling downhill from there. And I think that is where you're seeing in these last handful of games here. You're seeing it with the not so much Carolina, because that was in overtime, but more so the Pittsburgh and the Washington games last week, where you're seeing the difference in these teams, and the difference is maybe the killer instinct is there with those teams, and it's not so much there with the Flyers. And maybe because this collection of players that's currently playing for the Flyers doesn't have enough experience to have even developed a killer instinct yet, aside from your Giroux and your Konechny's. But, a lot of these guys weren't even anticipating playing here this year, and here they are in these situations. So I think that has a lot to do with it, and I think this recent stretch of games is showing you the deficiency with this Flyers team when you compare them to the teams they're playing, which are some of the top teams and playoff teams in the East, and last night's case, the West, with the Blues.
Yeah, some of these really good teams, goals against a lot of times wake them up. Like they flip a switch. It like pretty much turns them on and makes them, kind of turn into who they are. And we're seeing that with these games against the Flyers. And the Flyers just don't have enough to really withstand like the barrage that's coming after them after they score and gain some momentum. So it's been tough.
Right. And so last night, to your point there about the switch, like the deficiency is that the Blues have better hockey players. They have more of them and more of experience. So it was like Tarasenko turned into Tank last on that shift and just went in there like a bowling ball and said, you're not going to stop me, and scores what turns out to be the game-winning goal. Yeah. And the Flyers don't have a Tarasenko. They don't have a – I mean, Jordan Kyrou, it's not like he has this long, you know, resume, but, I mean, look at his stats this year. The Flyers don't have that. They don't have, you know, Pavel Buchnevich with these – you know, they don't have these guys with the scoring acumen that the players on the teams they're facing have, where they can just say, okay, you go out and make a play for me and get it done. Again, outside of the Giroux and Konechny, I mean, what are we talking? We're talking about Jerry Mayhew. I mean, he's the guy scoring goals for the Flyers. And, you know, he's up until this year a career minor leaguer, essentially. So I think that's where you're seeing another glaring, glaring deficiency.
Well, and it's interesting because sometimes I torture myself and think about in an alternate universe, if this game plays out, but you have even just say, let's just take two players back and say you have Couturier and Farabee, right? With Konechny playing the way he's playing, I know he's not goal scoring, but he is becoming a setup man in a way that's become pretty efficient for whoever his line mates are recently. You know, watching Oscar Lindblom round back into form, watching some of these players become who we want to see them be. It's just at this point in the season, and they're not complementary pieces in this situation. They are the relied upon key pieces in this situation. I know you want Konechny to be a key piece anyway, but if you have Joel scoring, Couturier developing plays, and let's say even if you have like a Kevin Hayes back for some of these games, you're talking about a whole different tone for all of those players. They become complementary pieces in a way that helps the team win rather than becoming key pieces that are trying to carry the team with, you know, a standout performance from Jerry Mayhew over the course of a couple games or Isaac Ratcliffe having a puck go off his pants or something. And when I think about that, that's why when I talk to people about next year, I'm like, listen, I don't know what I don't know, but I know that if this comes back, if I think about yesterday's game and I think about Oscar Lindblom's goal and I think about the players that they're missing and the way that game maybe plays out differently, if just a few, I mean, we're not talking about getting 11 guys back. I'm talking about getting maybe two or three back, how different that game looks. Even forget about goal scoring. Even if Ryan Ellis is there, Ivan Provorov obviously looks different. And I think maybe two of the goals don't happen. So it's just, but again, that doesn't matter because that's not reality, but it is. Sometimes I do like to think of these games and how I think they would have played out had you only had a couple of guys off of IR available to play. And it is wild. It is wild. The entire landscape of the game would be different, you would think. But that's not the situation now. So it's just fun to muse about sometimes.
Indeed. Flyers Talk is brought to you by Great Railing. Stop into Great Railing for the highest quality and lowest prices on all your railing, decking, and fencing needs.
If you travel, you know how to pull off a perfect getaway. You know, after you enroll with your Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card, you get up to $10 back monthly on U.S. rideshare purchases with select providers, like a car to the airport. You know which remote retreats have the best herbal baths and where the Wi-Fi password is rarely used because you're the escape artist. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Purchases must be on card. Visit go.amex/you know.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
I really think Mike Yeo deserves some credit. His record right now as interim head coach is 7-16-6, but that is so incredibly skewed by the injuries and the lack of talent. I mean, to me, I thought he deserved immense credit for having this team go wire to wire with teams like the Penguins, Capitals, and Hurricanes. I mean, they were right there with three of the best teams in the division, three teams that think they can win a Stanley Cup. I mean, that's astounding. I thought they got outplayed by the Blues. I think they kind of came back to earth and faced a good team on a back-to-back situation, and they got outplayed and still kept it, you know, a game until those empty net goals. But I think Mike Yeo deserves some credit. I think it's just it's a shame to see his record be so marred by the situation. But I think he's a good coach, and I think the team is playing for him. Like, they believe they can win. They're trying to win. I think there's something to be said for that given the circumstances. But Taryn and Joe, if we can look at some positives, let's just find a positive here. One positive through all of this so far, maybe through this recent stretch or through this losing streak, you had to pick one. Taryn, I will start with you. One positive for you.
I like Oscar Lindblom. Yeah. I like Oscar. Looks strong. I don't want to take away, obviously, anything from what he's been through, but I think my guess would be, based on conversations that I've had with him in the past, so I haven't had to sit down with him in a while, I don't think he wants to constantly have the conversation be, oh, he's back to where he was before cancer, or have that, like, caveat qualify everything he's doing. So I'm not going to. I just like the way he's playing. I think there have been times where the Flyers have lost battles along the boards, along a lot of areas, where Oscar has come in and he's won battles along the board. He's crashed the net for goals lately. He's scored Oscar Lindblom-like goals. On top of, you know, I was always impressed by his hockey IQ. I've always been impressed by what he can do below the red line in terms of setting players up, especially before – you know, he had to take a step back to deal with Ewing sarcoma. So I think that hockey IQ sticks with you. I do think he has it all the time. But I love the confidence that he's developed under Mike Yeo. It was something that we saw with Scott Gordon as well. When Dave Hackstall got let go and Scott Gordon was put into place, Scott Gordon immediately said to Oscar, like, I know what you're capable. I know how good you are. And I'm going to play you. And I want you to show me that. It's not a matter of, like, you know, either play well, like, you know, whacking a puppy with a newspaper, like, either do what I say, you're going to get whacked with a newspaper. It's saying, like, no, if you do well, you get a treat. Like, that's how the positive reinforcement of it seems to work with him. And I think Mike probably took that approach with Oscar, and I think it did work with him. But I love seeing him play like the player you want him to be. All the qualifications and the journey he's been through totally aside. Like, that story is incredible and remarkable, and it deserves all the time in the world. But I do think he wants to be a player who just plays the type of hockey you need him to play, who is the player you want him to be. And I think recently he's shown that. And I think that's huge for him. I think it's huge for the team. I think it means a lot to quite a few of his teammates. And in a time where, to be fair, if you're a veteran right now, the only thing that you probably have to play for is the fact that they're going to take a look at rookies and give them more ice time than you, and you want that time of the power play and you want that ice time. Something else to play for is this kid who's been your teammate for a while, who's gone through hell and back, and who's now still fighting. So I think he's a massive positive for this team right now.
Taryn, I love that pick. I think he's been one of their best players over the last 25 games. And Taryn, as you mentioned, if you're looking to next season as much as we are, you can look at Oscar Lindblom and say, hey, we could get the Oscar of old for a full season next year. And that's a real positive. Joe, how about you? One positive in your mind.
So this one is not anything you can find on a stat sheet, because on a stat sheet, particularly in the last two nights, it looks like 0-2 and back-to-back losses. But I'm going to say the goaltending, because the goaltending has given them a chance to stay in these games. And when's the last time you said, man, the Flyers lost tonight because of goaltending? I can't remember the last game. And particularly the last two nights with Carter being out, you have Martin Jones thrown into a back-to-back situation, which I didn't look it up, but I bet it's been a long, long time since he had to play on back-to-back nights. And quite frankly, last night, he was the only reason for a while that they were in the game. I mean, the Blues had an onslaught. I mean, Braden Schenn could have had five goals last night. Yeah. And, you know, he kept them in the game. And I don't know if I'm going to say unexpectedly, but perhaps unexpectedly kept them in both of these last two games. And the same goes for Carter Hart during this stretch. I mean, there's not been any games where you say, wow, those were really terrible goals that were let up, or they lost this game because of goaltending. And let's face it, this team's not playing lockdown defense in front of their goalies. So, you know, they've – and again, from the outside looking in, you're going to go, okay, well, they've lost six straight, so why are we giving credit to the goaltenders? I would say the reason that they're in these games is one of the main reasons, if not the main reason – is the goaltending. And that's what I'm going to say. And, you know, that's probably a bit of an under the radar pick, but I would say that that's definitely one of the main reasons.
I mean, there could have been four goals between the 15 minute and the 10 minute mark of the second period of yesterday's game. There were like 15, because it's so interesting. Usually we have to watch on TVs in the newsroom, but yesterday Al and I went and we watched from the NBC suite for a little bit of the game, and you kind of get a different feel for just overall flow, 200 feet. And we sat there for a good solid 5 minutes and we went, geez, every time they dump and chase and the Blues can establish cycling the puck, the Flyers are in trouble. And there was like 5 minutes of it between the 15 minute and the 10 minute mark of the second period. And the Flyers' only chances were in transition. They couldn't get anything going established in their offensive zone. And the Blues were just dumping, chasing, establishing possession. And there were quite a few scary chances. And Martin Jones came up huge, huge on a lot of them. Same thing against the Canes, obviously.
And even on Shen's goal, he gets back to make that save in the crease. Yeah. And then it just comes out and Shen
jams. It was miraculous. The first two shots didn't go in. I think it was Kyrou and I don't remember who shot the other one. But the
might
first
have been Tarasenko. He seemed to be – they seemed to be everywhere. Or I'm Barbashev. Sure.
I think it was Barbashev. I think it was Kyrou and Barbashev. And the Barbashev save was insane. He like jumped back and kind of smacked it with his stick out. It was wild that it took that many shots for that to go in. It was credit to Martin Jones. You look at that. I hate so strange. This seems like a microcosm of Flyer season to look back at a goal scored as kind of a highlight reel sequence for a goaltender. But the way Martin Jones played those first two pucks was really, I mean, it was impressive.
You wonder if any contending teams out there that need a goalie are watching that clip and saying, well, Martin Jones can still get around the crease. He's still athletic, still not old, and still a decent goaltender. So that's a good thing for sure. Yeah, for me, I love both picks. I was thinking Oscar Lindbaum for sure. I'll go with Justin Braun, just given he's a 35-year-old defenseman on an expiring contract, and I think the Flyers could really get something for him. You've had – you know, and a guy on an expiring deal like Derek Brassard, who's missed so many games, over 30 now. You have Rasmus Ristolainen, who I think the organization could be debating which way that could go. Do you trade him? Do you sign him? And he's been in and out of the lineup. Justin Braun has played in every single game. He's even in the plus-minus department for a team that has a minus 51 goal differential. He's playing 20 minutes a game. So a veteran that I think is going to get you something at the trade deadline, and there's something to be said for that. So for me, Justin Braun's been steady, he's been reliable, and he's going to be a good piece for the Flyers at the trade deadline. So kudos to Justin Braun for being a durable guy in a season that's been up and down and all over the place.
And Jordan Hall has an article about it up on NBCSportsPhiladelphia.com if you'd like to read that.
Thank you very much, Taryn Hatcher. And I was actually going to tease the Craig Berube interview with Taryn Hatcher as well. Taryn went one-on-one with the St. Louis Blues head coach, of course, the former Flyers head coach. Great stuff there. He talked all things Flyers, including Claude Giroux. So check that out on the website, NBCSportsPhiladelphia.com. Plenty of good content. And we'll have plenty more as February gets closer to wrapping up and as that March 21 trade deadline gets closer. But Taryn and Joe, thank you so much as always. Great seeing you. Great chatting with you. Can't wait to do it again. Ben Berry, a big thank you to our podcast producer and guru. And Flyers fans, as always, thank you for listening to the latest Flyers Talk podcast. Wherever you get your podcasts, please rate and subscribe, and we cannot wait to talk to you next time.